Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans, especially you high school fans. Welcome to the Yellow Ball UR Tennis Network, where you will find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS TCA perspective on high school tennis. We are the new kid on the network, only in our second year, and we want to thank the CEO of the organization, J.P. Weber, for allowing us to join this fine network. J.P. Weber, We Coach Tennis, you can find him on social media, and you'll be listening to him on the station on Tuesdays. You can hear Lisa Stone and her Tuesday's Parentination group. And, of course, yesterday, hopefully, you've got a chance to listen to Chuck Reese's American Tennis. Every Wednesday, the legendary coach has his instructional series, which should be a must for all you new coaches. Each week on our broadcast, you can be hearing from high school, college, or professional coaches, or tennis pros. Our guests will also include educators, organization leaders from the FACA, PTR, USPTA, USTA, and others, including our partners who occasionally will drop in. Our broadcasts can't help but occasionally overlap the other great tennis broadcasts on the network. Since if high school tennis is an after-school sport and not an after-school activity, we should be building a bridge from recreational to competitive tennis, which could be the pathway to a continuing and rewarding lifetime experience. We are blessed to have partners like Wilson Tennis, a leader in the sports industry for over 100 years. I've seen much of what they've done. I wish I could be around for the next 100 years to see what they have planned, but you know it's going to be great. Team Connection Tennis is the FHS TCA Clothier. And, of course, Florida Tennis Magazine allows me to write two articles every issue in it, and they are a major supporter of high school tennis. You can find Florida Tennis News in there, Worldwide Tennis News, and, of course, you always find high school tennis news in Florida Tennis Magazine. Flagler Insurance and the American Integrity are bringing you our first awards luncheon October 8th at the FACA workshop in Orlando, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. We will conclude it with our first annual award. We've given out annual awards in the past, but this will be the first time that we've done it with a luncheon, hoping that we might be able to sit there and not only recognize people that have been helping support our organization, but build a foundation for the future so that we can do the things that we would like to do. And of course, as an FACA member, all FACA members are entitled to go to the workshop for free. And the only cost of the workshop is if you want to take the FHS TCA Tennis Team Coach Certification. And if you do that, that's a one-time $35 course, and you will be able to take an online test afterwards, which the test will be all the outstanding speakers that we have at the workshop. And, of course, as you know, this month we've it's been all speakers at the workshop that joined us. Last week you've listened to Scott Williams from Scott Tennis, and we appreciate everything he does. Scott is the director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Tennis. And I am very thankful for the response that we've seen from last week's broadcast. Seems like many of you agree with what Scott and I talked about, and we appreciate that. It's great hearing from all of you and your comments. I also want to remind you that we're going to give you our view, but the station is always open to your view, too. Don't be bashful. You know that I speak my mind often. Every week I ask the question, is high school tennis at your school an after-school activity or an after-school sport? And I look forward to hearing your comments. So you don't have to agree with us. All we ask you to do is be respectful. Let's try to stay on the issues and let's not get personal, because tennis is truthfully bigger than all of us. It's a great game that it's been around for a long time, and our job is to sit there and respect and honor the game. So if you have a different point of view, by all means, tell us about it. Today, we have our keynote speaker for the workshop, the tennis portion of the workshop, I should say, the FACA, the Florida Athletic Coaches Association. The workshop at the Orlando Mall will include other sports. The FHSTCA is the tennis arm of the FACA, and of course we do the tennis portion of the training. And Coach Chuck Greasy, the former Clemson College Hall of Fame coach, who's now at the Citadel, will be our keynote speaker there, and hopefully he will join us pretty soon and will be our guest. Those of you taking the FHSTCA tennis team coach certification will notice that the way you move up the line from being a certified tennis team coach to a senior to a master is not by giving us more money, it's by your attendance in USTA events, in USPTA events, in PTR events, your participation, your number of years coaching, your experience. And, of course, with our connections with Human Kinetics, one of the things that we always encourage is your continuing education. We have an obligation as coaches to stay abreast of what's going on. So Coach Creasy's Coaching Tennis book, which is still in publication, is one of the books that the FHSTCA tennis team coaching certification program uses as points that you can earn to sit there and move up the ladder. Last week's Scott Williams also has a book that is on our list, a book that was published by Human Kinetics, too. And we believe that we want to sit there and try to make those new coaches coming into the industry a little bit more comfortable than some of us were when we came into the industry. If we can reduce the learning curve a little, then it's going to make the high school players and the parents' experience in the high school tennis a much more rewarding experience. If I would, I'd like to tell you while I'm waiting for Coach Creasy to come, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about our partners, Wilson Tennis, as those of you that know that participated in our All-Star tournament every year. We try to send our seniors off to college with fine memories and a tournament. Wilson has been part of that from the beginning. We naturally use the Wilson tennis balls. They've always provided goodies for the coaches and the players there. And, of course, the players and coaches have always looked well because Team Connection, our FHS-TCA clothier, has always sat there and dressed them so that, you know, they look like they were enjoying themselves out there. I especially like to thank Flagler Insurance, not just for this year and allowing us to have a luncheon for the first time. They were, as you probably have seen their ad in the last issue of Florida Tennis. They are a big part of what we're able to do. They and Roxanne Malone Dentistry, I think it's Family Dentistry, they've provided the lunches for the players the last couple of years, and they've been continuous supporters, and we thank those that are coming. I do need a count for the restaurant on Saturday, so I ask you if you are going to attend the luncheon after the workshop. You can go right to the FHS-TCA website, and you can go to PayPal right there and register there for the luncheon. The first 100 people that attend the lunch will receive a hardcover mystery novel from Florida's own David Beckwith. They'll also receive a $10 raffle ticket because Wilson, again, will be providing rackets and tennis bags and cases of tennis balls that we will be raffling off to try to make some money for our 501c3 not-for-profit organization. I will remind you that we don't have no dues, that we are part of the FACA. If you have an FACA membership, you are a FHS-TCA member. So we, like any not-for-profit organization, need revenue to do the things that we try to do every year. And we especially thank our partners who help us achieve these things. But if you want to join us for the luncheon is only $25. You'll receive a $29 hardcover book. You'll receive a $10 raffle ticket. And you'll receive a fine Italian lunch at the restroom right there in the Florida Mall. It's an Italian restaurant. Let me see if I can remember the name of the restaurant. It's the Bocca di Pepo Italian Restaurant. It's right in the mall. So we'll return from the tennis courts. Our last presenter will be through at 11:50. The luncheon is not till 1:30, so it'll give us plenty of time to get the 10 minutes away from the Gatlin Tennis Center back to the Florida Mall. So let me tell you about the workshop while I'm waiting for Coach Creasy to join us. He still isn't with us, but let me tell you, I gave you Thursday's presentation. I will remind you that Thursday is the FHS-TCA board meeting at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Jane Hollinger, our president, will be conducting the board meeting. And if we have time at the end of this presentation, I will give you John Denise's perspective, which will include some of the bylaw changes that I'm looking to recommend to the board. But remember, last week I heard from a few people, and they said we didn't hear John Denise's perspective, and we were wondering what you were going to present. It's not important what I'm going to present. What is important is your view. The organization is not about me or anybody else in the organization. The organization is about high school tennis and what we can do to improve it and make it a rewarding experience for the high school players and their parents there. Trying at some point, we will hopefully, the Lord willing, we will see high school tennis as a sport and not an after-school activity throughout the state and throughout the country, because Florida is no different than many other states where high school tennis and for most of the state is an after-school activity and not an after-school sport. But working together, we can help make sure that in every school it's an after-school sport and not an after-school activity. Friday morning, we moved to the Gatlin Tennis Center. And those of you that haven't been there, this summer I was there for the first time in almost 2 years. I was very impressed with the job they have done and improving everything there. It's a beautiful facility. You people in Orlando are very fortunate to have that. Friday morning, we will start off our presentation with Scott Inge coming from Kansas. Scott is a gentleman I've been blessed to know for many years. We worked with the World Scholar Athlete Games at the University of Rhode Island years ago together. This is the second time he's come out to Florida to help us with our presentation. And he will open up Friday's session with double drills. At 10 o'clock, we have Ed Duffy, a PTR, USPTA elite professional, a USTA volunteer from down in the West Palm Beach area. He will be doing drills, who, when, why, and where. At 11 o'clock, we have our keynote speaker for the weekend. We will be working him a lot. He said we can't work him too much. I've taken Chuck Creasy at his word because he has so much to offer. And he will be doing a presentation, drills from A to Z. So if those of you that haven't seen the legend do workshops, I think you're going to be blessed. I know you're going to be blessed to see him. We will then take a lunch break, and then Scott Inge will return, and he will do a serve and volley drills, the importance of serve and volley. Some people say the serve is the most important stroke in tennis, and if it is, then the return of serve has to be the second most, and he will get in that with his serving volley and trying to put pressure. At 2:30, something that we started a long time ago, because I'm always reminding the coaches how special they are and how much knowledge they already have before coming to our workshop. And we asked them to share their drill exchange. So we do a drill exchange, and a lot of times you'll get something new out of that. Sometimes you will get something that you used to do, and you say, gee, I used to do that drill. Why did I stop doing that? So we ask you, we ask everybody to participate in that. At 3:30, Joe Curtis, high school coach from Tampa, outstanding player, college player, he will be doing a presentation on the court, too. He will be doing some doubles. One of the things we hear a lot in from our college coaches, and as you know, I try to have a college coach on the broadcast every week, is that too often many of the players they get from high school aren't prepared to play doubles. And as you've noticed, I think the past 7 or 8 years anyway, I tried to make sure that doubles is part of our presentation every year, simply because I'm tired of being beaten up by the college coaches that we're not doing a good job with that. So if we work together, we could help make the college coaches' job a little easier. And then we will return to the mall, because from 5 to 6:15 in the evening, we will Coach Creasy will again be doing a presentation, and it'll be stimulating the learning. And he's talking about addressing the last 20% in that presentation. I was hoping, I'm still hoping, because we're still early in the presentation, that he comes aboard pretty soon, because that was one of the things I wanted to have him address, and why that topic there. Because those of you that are into high school coaching and have been coaching understand that the average high school coach doesn't have a team that's made up of five players that are going on to college, or six or seven. Excuse me. That most of the time, if you're lucky, you have one player there. The good teams have two or three. But then you have some good tournament players on there. And we have recreational players there. And as a coach, you're responsible to address all of their needs. So I was happy to see that addressing the last 20%, because I know it's going to be very important to high school coaches. I have a bias like everybody else does. I've never coached college tennis. As most of you know, I come from a basketball background, coaching basketball before I coached tennis. But I do believe that the high school tennis coach is the toughest job in the world, because you're talking to individuals playing a team sport. You're talking to, like I said, because of the breakup of the makeup of the teams, excuse me, you have some players that are looking to go play college. You have some players that just want to enjoy the high school experience. You have other players that are there only because their friend is on the team and they were talked into it. You have some players that the guidance counselor told them that they're looking good for college and maybe having some offers, but you really should be involved in the sport. Every year at Sebastian River High School, I would get some of our AB players coming in to their senior year. And you knew during our player-parent meetings when I asked them why they were there, they would tell me straight up. Their guidance counselor suggested they take up a sport, and everybody said that tennis was fun. Tennis should be fun, but the greatest asset tennis has is that it gives you the chance to compete. And competition, as you've heard me say before, is not a bad word. It's an important word. Our high school players are going to leave high school and hopefully go on to college, and they're going to be competing there. They're going to be competing for grades. If they're playing in a sport, they're going to be competing in a sport. They're going to leave college and go out into the corporate world or the business world and some function, whatever they do for a living afterwards, they are going to be competing. So I particularly enjoyed Coach Greasy's broadcast yesterday. He addressed this some, and hopefully if he's joins us pretty soon, I hope nothing is wrong. I'm surprised we've talked about the broadcast, and he wanted to be part of it, and he announced on his show, which I listened to yesterday, to stay tuned to our show because he was going to be on. So I just pray that everything is okay. The workshop, like I was saying before, what we try to do is we try to make sure that the learning, there's a learning curve in everything, no matter what it is. And we try to make sure that the learning curve for the new coaches, and not just for the new coaches, because you're learning, there's not too many of you older than I am, and hopefully it's not just because I'm dumber than most people, but I learn every single day, and I think it's important to sit there and listen. We pray that a lot of you listen to this program, and we hope that we have something to give you. But I think there's so much to learn from listening and finding out what the people's objections are, who they are, how do you sit there and form a team. Being a high school coach for 20, tennis coach for 20 years, years ago, I developed a program. I actually got it from the World Scholar Athlete Games. I don't know how many years, at least 15, 16, 17 years ago. Started having player-parent meetings before and asking the players to sit there, and we get to know each other as a team. It's hard to become a team if you don't know and love each other. And Scott Williams last week, I think, gave you some great insight, some important insight. You know, you talk about feed your faith, and doubt will starve to death. You know, no question about it. I also believe that that knowing what's expected of you, having rules and knowing that this is what's expected of you, it's easier than to become a part of a team. But you have to love each other. And does love each other mean that you always have to be nice to each other and make excuses for each other? In my opinion, no. Loving each other means that when your friend's about to get in trouble, don't wait for them to get in trouble, but tell them beforehand. I've learned over the years that one of the hardest things to do is for a person to give of themselves and talk from themselves. And it was something that, truthfully, I struggled with. For about 4 months, I tried to get somebody to do this broadcast rather than me. I felt a younger person could do a better job. And I still feel that, truthfully. Excuse me. But, you know, you have to sit there and you have to be able to tell each other about each other. And with the player-parent meetings that I conduct, everybody knew that at Sebastian River High School, the first Wednesday in September, the first Wednesday in October, the first Wednesday in November was player-parent meeting that evening. And we would sit there and talk and tell of ourselves. And that's a hard thing to do, especially for kids in high school. They would rather go out and run and run and run than to give who they really are. So it's something that's hard to get them to do, but eventually if you get them talking, it can happen. You also lose some players. We had the sign of parent-player contract, so they knew what was expected of us, and they knew what we expected of them. And being able to do that because somebody didn't want to do it doesn't make them a lesser person. It means that they didn't fit into this group of people. And you don't know if you fit in or not unless you can truthfully talk with each other and tell them what you like and what you don't like. And this is what we tried to do with the parent-player meetings during this time. So I'm going on here a lot longer than I wanted to. I'm getting a little concerned. This is not like Chuck Reese. But hopefully he is okay. And will be joining us soon. Let me go to last week's broadcast for a minute. One of the things that, well, my own bias, I was pleasantly surprised. It seems as though I remember two or three broadcasts before that I had Scott Williams on, that I had comments about if this was going to be a religious show or not, and I stated it wasn't, but I appreciate hearing your views, and I asked for input of why you thought so and everything, but I think that Scott addressed it a lot better than I could address it, is why, what you expected of people, how he could sit there and be the same coach to Tommy Haas, who looks like he wants to go out. He's not ready to retire yet. So it'll be interesting to watch this coming year. And to the high school teams that he's coached. And as being the director of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Tennis and what he's doing there. But it's what we do as coaches is we sit there and we borrow from other people. I sit there and have read Coach in Tennis, Chuck Creasy's book, I don't know how many times. I've given the book out to coaches that worked for me. I've lost all the copies I had but one, which I won't lend out because Coach Greasy has signed it for me with a little message in there. And it's something that it keeps a – and plus it's kind of beat up now and nasty because I use it. I continuously use it. Who we are, we all stand on the shoulders of other people, and we all borrow things from them. And I borrowed much from them, and sometimes, and one of the things I talked about are having a Drew exchange at the workshop on Friday. The yesterday's broadcast, Chuck Creasy talked about the black door, which he has in his book. And those that have gone through my program over the years in the Sebastian River High School all know the story of the black door. And being that I haven't been that actively as a volunteer coach, I don't set the agenda no more at the high school. I just volunteer my hours. I haven't heard that the last couple of years. So it was great to hear the story. But that story, the first time I heard it and used it for a lot of years was in Coaching Tennis, Chuck Creasy's book. So especially your new coaches, I'm hoping, I know the book is still in publication, and hopefully when he comes to the workshop, he'll bring some of them with him. And those of you that don't have the book, I really suggest that you sit and get the book because it's important. And a lot of short stories in there, a lot of quotes in there. I enjoyed talking. I've been really, besides concern this evening, I had looked forward to a great conversation. I did want to contradict him. I know it's hard to contradict the legend, but I did have one thing that on this broadcast yesterday that I wanted to discuss with him. I'm afraid I'm not going to get the opportunity. But I think we mentioned it last week, and I'm not sure if we gave credit to where it came from. But I think it was Scott that said it. Concern yourself, if not with what you tried and failed in, but what is still possible for you to do. And I had forgotten where that was, and I looked it up because. But that's Pope John the 23rd had said that. So a lot of times when we're referring to sayings, they do come, from different religions. But we don't get involved with religion. I mean, but I think there's a lot to learn from it. I mean, why are the Ten Commandments important? Do they sit there and tell you can go out and do anything you want to do and don't worry about it? No, they give you a guideline of what has to be done. And I think one of the things that Coach Creasy was talking about on yesterday's broadcast is that we have to be careful that we don't sit there and just make excuses for people. If you don't earn it, it's hard to really respect it. The coach says often, if it's easy to pick up, it's easy to put down. So, I think we have to sit there and let players know what's expected of them. We have to be truthful with them. We have to make sure we sandwich any negative guidance we try to give them with positive stuff, because by the time we get them in the high school, they've already heard too much negative comments all over the place. And I think what most coach, one of the struggles that you have, I know personally I had over the years, is when I saw something critical that I thought had to be dressed, is how do I make sure I dress it in a way that the player knew that I wasn't putting them down. I was addressing a problem that had to be addressed if they were going to continue on the journey that should be a positive journey. And, the journey in life is a bumpy journey. I think the great thing about tennis is it helps us with that journey, because A tennis match is like a crisis management course. I believe the game of tennis can be broken down into time. You're either looking to take time away from your opponent, or you're trying to buy time. I mean, why do we move somebody from side to side so that they don't have time to set up? Why do we hit the ball harder at somebody to make sure they take time away? Why might somebody like me, when they get older and they're slowed down, why do they sit there and try to hit slice to sit there and buy time? So we're either trying with the direction of our ball, what type of ball we make, the contact of our ball, deciding when can I take time away from my opponent, when do I buy time. In high school, particularly, I think most of us sit there and say, keep the ball deep. If you can keep the ball deep, the person makes a mistake back at the end of the outside the baseline. That mistake doesn't have to mean they lost the point, but there's a short ball. Then what do? We encourage them to attack that short ball because now they've given us the opportunity to take time away from them. Why else do we want to keep them deep? We want to keep them deep because an angle begets a better angle. And if we can get in a position where the person gives us an angle where we could take them off the court, they're not going to have time to address that ball the way they probably would like to. I think the biggest change that you see today with the rackets and the technology and the play, once you get into the good level of college play and in the pros, you watch the game as being you're taking the opponent off the court. But before you can do that, you have to be in a position to do that. So that means if I can keep the person deep, if they make a mistake and now I have time to sit there and create an angle to take them off the court. You know, so when you boil down to the game of tennis, I think it's a game of time. And what is life? It's a time. You know, how many people, you know, don't take the time? I hear people all the time saying, I tried tennis, but I just wasn't good at it. Well, were they not good at it because they didn't put enough time in it? Did they not make enough mistakes to realize why they were making those mistakes? And now they find out what the corrections are to make them a better player. So it was probably time, the reason that I hear that quote, well, I just wasn't good at it. They didn't allow themselves to make the mistakes. They didn't realize that it's mistakes that yesterday's mistakes are what make us who we are today. Everybody sits there and it's going to make mistakes. The thing is, you know, are you learning from the mistakes? I think it was the old Navy quarterback that worked for the Dallas Cowboys, a great quarterback, that said that, you know, I only lose, and maybe it wasn't now come to think of it, but somebody said the phrase, I only lose when I don't learn something from it. And I think that's so important, and I've always tried to make the point to our players, are you through playing tennis? Well, no, coach. I have another match next week, and hopefully we're going to get to districts. So then you didn't lose. You're learning something. Can you tell me why you lost that match? And I make it a point never to ask those questions right after somebody's lost. I think one of the things, another thing that Coach Greasy has in his book is when we teach, he talks about scheduling, the importance of scheduling in the book. But when is the time that we give the information out? It's just as important as the information you have. Because if the person is not ready to receive the information, you might have the best information in the world, but it's not going to do any good if the person is not listening. So especially to you parents listening, I ask you, please, Coach, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. Sorry it took me so long to call in.
Is this Coach Greasy?
Yeah, actually I've been greasing up my prick because I've been beating it off.
Sorry about that. This is the second time that there has happened, and with a different number, too. So, interesting. But let me get back to, let me do two things now. I'm afraid Coach Greasy is not going to be with us. I will find out after the show what happened. I pray it's nothing serious, but we will see. But let me remind you that Team Connection is the FHS TCA clothier. When you look to get your team uniforms and everything, remember them. Please remember the people that are supporting us. Wilson Tennis. The odds are if you attend the luncheon after the workshop, the odds are you're going to win some type of prize because Wilson has just been the greatest to us, and they are, and it'll be interesting. 100 years, what they've done is fantastic. But the other people that we want to thank is, I want to thank the network for one thing, J.P. Weber, We Coach Tennis. Those of you that are on the social media, on the Facebook, I really suggest you go to that their site and then stay tuned for his broadcast. Lisa Stone every Tuesday has an outstanding broadcast. And yesterday, Chuck Greasy sat there and he did like I did today. His guest wasn't able to show up, but he talked. And the difference is he does a much better job than I do. But his show is always worthwhile, especially when he's sitting there with his instructional series. Your new coaches, get coaching tennis book. Listen to the broadcast every Wednesday at noon. And mostly I shouldn't say listen to the broadcast Wednesday at noon because most of the broadcasts are not broadcasts that people listen live to. They listen at their own convenience. This is the great thing about Blog Talk Radio, is that you're able to listen to the broadcast at any time you want to listen to the broadcast. I never listened to Chuck Greasy's show, live. It's usually late at night or in the morning. I did listen to a show yesterday. Last night after the show was over. But this is the great thing about Blog Talk Radio. So we thank J.P. Weber for what he does. I also have to thank Jim Martz and Florida Tennis. When it comes to tennis in Florida, Jim Martz is Mr. Tennis. I mean, he's been doing this for so long, and we appreciate all he does. And, of course, Flagler Insurance, And it really shouldn't just say Flagler Insurance, because it's his whole network, Ron Scalzo's whole network of the group, Dean Street Insurance, Flagler Insurance, American Heritage. Well, I know one of his carriers. What he's brought to our organization, and I think it's important. People like Ron and people like Roxanne Malone, who had children going through the high school system, and I hear too often people saying the problem is parents. Well, parents don't have to be the problem. In Ron's case, he was a volunteer high school coach in soccer and in tennis, because he had girls in each sport who have gone out and are very successful today. But he's still given long after his children have finished high school. So I think it's important, and this is why I like the parent-player meetings. I think it's important to sit there and remember that the parents are giving you the most important asset that they have, and that's their children. So, you know, recognize their concerns. I've often said the only two real sane parents have really probably were my wife and I, and sometimes, truthfully, I wondered about Bobby, and of course, Bobby says, you know, she agrees with me, except for those times she wondered about me. So, parents, you know, can be a problem for you, but more times than not, they're going to be an asset to you, to your program, and to high school tennis. So, please, try to culture them, keep them around, and if you're as fortunate as we are with Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, you're going to find somebody like Ron Scalzo that's still giving today long after they stop coaching. And then you're going to find people like Roxanne Malone, who's just getting into the coaching of the high school tennis and everything after her children went off to college. So, there are assets out there. We just have to go out and cultivate them. Now, being I do have a little time today, I will get to some of the comments I heard last week, is that I didn't give the John Denise perspective. And you are right. So let me give it to you today. There's a couple of the items that I will bring up at the board meeting. Is I'm going to ask that the board meeting be expanded from 16 districts to the 24 districts. One of the reasons is that we would then be aligned with the FACA. The truth of the matter is, when we started this organization, and I lined us up with 8 regions, being the USTA Florida 8 regions, thinking I was going to get a little bit more support than we needed. When we ran that first All-Star tournament, a lot of the coaches complained the regions were too big, and when hard to find players, they didn't know who the player was. So we went to 16 regions. If we were smarter, I believe we would have went to the 24 regions. We would have been lined up with the FACA. So one of the things that you always have to learn is, you know, mistakes are should be something that we learn from. And it's, if it's something we could correct, let's correct it. So I think that a bylaw change would help us there. The other thing it would do is, our organization, truthfully, is like no other organization. You know, Bobby, about if we're lucky, 10% of the people work their butt off to grow the organization and do things better. Some people sit and, you know, want other people to do it. Some people looking for titles. I mean, we're no different than any organization. So the more people we can get into these areas, I think that the better chance we have a larger pool to draw from to get workers and to sit there and accomplish our goals. Second recommendation I'll make is that the board do away with the executive director position until we have a funding source for our organization so we could put together proper budgets and everything. Right now, one of the things that I learned after accepting this here position, I think it was in 2012, because we had presidents coming in and out. I think at that time we had the incoming president was going to be an athletic director, so they weren't accepting that. And I took that position when the board appointed me to that there. But looking for people to give an endowment to sit there and run this, usually what they want to do is, what's the executive director? What's their salary? What's the budget? Truthfully, when we applied for the USTA Florida for funding for our regional training, we felt it was a deserving thing. I still feel it's a deserving thing that needs help. If they could help USPTA and other organizations, I felt they could do there. But it was pointed out to me that, you know, we really didn't have a budget. The budget was, if we ran short, I put money in. And if, as an executive director, it wasn't impressive that you got a $1 salary plus expenses. So, and looking at it at first, while there was extreme disappointment that they weren't going to fund us, I can understand where they're coming from, too. I can understand their position, and I've heard that position with other people I've talked to before. So it is a problem, which probably will mean that we need some kind of committee coming up to help the president, because we can only ask the president and can do so much. We have the same problem that tennis has. Most schools pay a coach for 3 months out of the year, and the coaching responsibilities are a year-round thing, and that's why I say we have to get to the point where Board of Education's are recognizing this here and giving more than a step. And we're asking people like our president and our incoming board members and everything to do an awful lot, and they have other things that they're doing besides volunteering their time to hear. So I think that's one of the other things that I will be bringing up. I have heard from other people about Committee for Public Relations and training coordinator should be a board position. There's I think that's a good argument there, but I will let those people bring that up and support that the way they are. I would also encourage you that if you have an idea, bring it up. You know, these are things I'm bringing up because I think that they're good. If they get knocked down, you know, I can live with that. It's our organization. It isn't one person's organization. So, you know, you have ideas. You might get rejected this time, but it might be an idea that you go with later on and that they adopt, and it might be good. There's ideas that I still wonder. When I was on the USTA Florida Board of Directors, we reduced our position and cut me and other people out of a job because the board of directors should be smaller and it's easier to manage. Yes, it's easier to manage, but making it smaller, is that better? Are we cutting out the input? And I think we are. And that's so I have mixed feelings on votes that I've taken. So This is what we are. So I ask you, I remind you that next week we will not have a broadcast because next Thursday we'll be too busy with the FACA workshop. Please be there at the Orlando Mall. But I do have some outstanding guests lined up for October and November. So please tell your friends about the broadcast. Have them come in. I understand that they can't come in, listen live in many cases, but I don't listen live to Lisa's show or to Chuck's show. So the great thing about Blog Talk Radio is you can listen at your time. So have a blessed week. I will talk with you again, hopefully, in 2 weeks, and I look forward to seeing you at the workshop. Take care. Have a blessed week.